Amen. Good morning, everyone, and welcome. Music was interrupted there for a minute, but I want to welcome you to the room this morning. Glory to God. Just take a few minutes, pray yourself into the presence of the Lord, and then we're going to worship and praise the name of the Lord as we continue the song in just a minute. Good morning and welcome to the room. please share the room. I see only one share, and I think that's me. Share the room on your hallway. Just click the share thing and do share on Clubhouse. You know, that'll put it right on top of your hallway. And then let's invite some folks into the room. I believe God is going to bless us. And when I turn on the music again, enjoy it, worship the Lord, listen to the words. It's going to be a blessing. It's going to be a powerful room this morning. I am excited for a new day. So good morning, everyone. Good afternoon, wherever you may be. And God bless you. And take a minute. Just take a minute to, you know, bless the name of the Lord. Perhaps more than a minute, actually. You know, let's bless the name of the Lord and let's get into his presence today and let's see what the Lord is going to do for us. Again, I welcome you to the room. I thank you. It's a great thing to get up early in the morning like this to praise the name of the Lord. Oh, glory to God. I love you, Lord. Your name is yea and amen. Your name is higher than any name. Your word is yea and amen. Your word is yea and amen. Let's give him some praise in here this morning. Give the Lord some praise here. Give him some praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hey. Hallelujah. Hey. Sing hallelujah. Hey. Hallelujah. Hey. Hallelujah. Hey. Hallelujah. Hey. Sing hallelujah. Baraboshetta larabos. Oh, yes. Lion of Judah, Adonai Shemah, Yeshua, Hamashiach, Lion of Judah, Adonai Shemah, Yeshua, Hamashiach, He's the guardian of the universe. Oh, yeah. Mashiach, Lion of Judah. Listen to this. You are the one who parted the Red Sea. Oh, yes. Yeshua, Mashiach. Lion of Judah, Adonai Shemah. He fights your battles too. Somebody roar. Oh, somebody shout his praise here this morning. Glory to God. Yeah. I will bless the Lord at all times. Oh, his praise. Yes, will be in my mouth. Namashia. Lion of Judah, Adonai Shemah. He is the guardian of the universe. Hallelujah. Hey. Hallelujah. Hey. That's the word that's the same in every language. It's an amazing, powerful word. Hallelujah. Hey. Hallelujah. Hey. Hallelujah. Hey. Sing hallelujah. Hey. Hallelujah. Hey. Hallelujah. Hey. Hallelujah. Hey. Sing hallelujah. Hey. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Welcome into the room this morning. You know, hallelujah is an amazing, amazing word. Glory to God. I went somewhere to, you know, many years ago, actually different places. It was this place I went in the Philippines, and I said, well, I didn't know any, you know, I went there to preach, conduct a crusade. I didn't know any Filipino words. So they tried to teach me something. I couldn't, you know, I said, well, so I said, okay, fine. I'm going to teach you guys a Philippine song this morning. I said, the anointing is upon me. And I'm going to teach you guys a Filipino song. And everybody say, looking at me, I say, well, you know, lift up your hands. I'm going to teach you a Filipino song. My goodness. And they all lifted their hands. They are waiting for this incredible thing because I told them the anointing is upon me. The anointing was upon me, but none for that song. So I began to sing the Hallelujah song. You know, and I sang it a few times, and then everybody caught on what I was doing, and everybody started to sing the Hallelujah song, and then the whole place started roaring, and I said, yeah, you know, I just taught you a Philippine song. Glory to God. It is the same word in every language. It is the same word. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And they say it in heaven. They say hallelujah for the Lord God omnipotent reigning, you know, and they say glory and honor to him who is, well, he was and is to come, the Almighty, you know, and they say holy, holy, holy. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Lord, we love you this morning. We just lift up our praise. Lift up your praise here this morning. I lift up my praise this morning unto you, Lord. In the morning, will I direct my prayer unto you? Glory to God. In the womb of the morning, in the beauties of holiness, may the Lord command the youth, the dew of youth for every one of us today. Even as the psalmist said, the Lord reneweth my youth. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and everything that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Oh, glory to God, who forgiveth all mine iniquities and who healeth all my diseases. Now, that's all my diseases. Oh, praise God. No matter what, he heals them all. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, the Lord redeemeth my life from destruction. Ah, thank you, Lord. The Lord satisfies my mouth with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. Oh, glory to God. I thank you, Lord, and I praise you for everyone that's in this room today. As we come into his presence, the Bible says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. You know, that's your own songs too. You know, talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Glory to God. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. Not just his hand, but his face. We don't just want what God wants to give us or can give us, but we want him. I want you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I want you, Lord. Hallelujah. You, Lord. I want you. Thank you, Jesus. You know, let's not get carried away with the things that God can give us. God said to Abraham, Abraham, I am thy shield and exceeding great reward. Thy shield and exceeding great reward. God said, I will give you myself. I myself will be your reward. You will have me. You know, not just what I can give you, but you will have me. Glory to God. You know, but Abraham, he was focused on what he wanted. You know, say, Lord, but I don't have a child. Lord said, I'm going to give you me. What are you worrying about a child for? If you have God, you got everything. You know, so that's the challenge we face from time to time. We forget that God himself is much greater than even all the good things he can give us. The Bible says that all good and perfect gifts come from above, the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness or shadow of turning. There's no variableness with God. That means God has no mood swings. Not today, he feels good, like he was going to bless you. Tomorrow, he's moody, and then he's not going to bless you. No. You know, he's constant like that. But with him, even all the things that he can give us, we cannot replace God with his blessings. Ladies and gentlemen, men and brethren, we cannot replace God with his blessings. Even the things that God can bless us with, they pale in comparison to God himself. You know, so let us always focus on the Lord. You know, now this room is going to be powerful. It might deal with the things that God can bless you with. So I wanted to put this one out there right away. That look, even the very things that God can bless you with can never, never replace God. You know, so even when the Lord promises great things for us, you know, let us focus on the Lord himself. Genesis 15 and 1 is where I was quoting from, where the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, "Fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield, glory to God, an exceeding great reward." Now, that's an incredible salutation. That's an incredible salutation. For God to come to somebody and say, "I am your shield." I mean, if God is your shield, you know, it doesn't matter what your enemies can do. Doesn't matter how many darts can be thrown at you. Doesn't matter how many arrows, how many things they fire. God is your shield. Hallelujah. You know, it's surrounding you. That's why they say the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The song we were just listening to. Thy name is a strong tower. And when the righteous, when we run into it, we are safe like that. You know, the Lord's name is a strong tower. Oh, but he wants to be more. He wants to be everything to us. He wants to, I mean, anything you can think of, God can be and even more. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, so that's what we want to, I want to just put that one out there today before we get started. And then we're going to get started. And the Lord is going to bless our hearts. Praise God. Hallelujah. Father, once again, I thank you for this room, you know, and we just bless you. And as always, we know the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Now let the Lord be glorified in the message of the Lord. And let the people of God be inspired to greater heights this morning. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. And let every one of us be a son or daughter of encouragement every day. You know, I love to be an encourager. You know, be an encourager. Have a word in your heart and in your mouth that will bless somebody all the time. You know, Colossians 4 and 6. Let your words be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer every man. And before I get into the stuff that I will be dealing with this morning, let me tell you a quick story, which of course you also know in the Bible, you know, the story of Joseph. But the part I want to talk about is the word of encouragement that was in his mouth when he was in the prison. And every day he looked at, you know, the baker and the butler. They were good every day, you know, and until one day their countenances were falling and they were sad, you know, and Joseph, you know, was sensitive to that. was sensitive to that. And that's, you know, that caring nature, that sensitivity was what eventually led him to the throne. Even though it took over two years for the other guy to remember him, but it was his sensitivity. Because Joseph came into them that morning and said, "Why look you so sadly today? I mean, every day, you know, we've been talking here and everything looking good. But today, I see that there, your countenances are falling. You are saddened. It's something in your heart, you know. What's on your mind? Why do you look so sad today?" And because he cared about what the other person was going through, just by looking at their faces and being concerned, he began to, you know, ask them. Well, they eventually told him, "Well, you know, last night we had a dream, you know, and so forth. And this dream," and they were confused, you know, and then, you know, the rest of the story. But it all started with, "Why look you so sadly today?" You know, so let's be sensitive around us, on your job, in your neighborhood, wherever you are, in the marketplace, school, anywhere. You know, be sensitive to the needs of the people around you. You know, just a word of encouragement to them, you know, can make, you know, a big difference. It can cause a shift, can cause a shift like that. Praise God. Hallelujah. So, are you fired up and are you ready to go? It's a good thing to be fired up like this in the mornings, you know, and I want to just sing a couple of verses out of Psalm 92. And then we're going to get going. Psalm 92, verse 1. "It is a good thing to give thanks unto God, to show forth his loving kindness in the morning and his faithfulness every night. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High God, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. By praising him often, you will be covered with a bright Shekinah glory. Let us praise the Lord." Hallelujah. So today is a day of encouragement. It is not a day of, you know, black clouds, you know, and long blowing of the shofar in a way that is announcing doom. No, this is a blowing of joy. It's an encouragement room this morning. Hallelujah. And I'm going to bring the word of encouragement to us this morning. And also an admonition for us to patiently wait on the Lord. So today's room, and we're going to use that for our prayers today, it is just around the corner. That's right. It's just around the corner. You know, and, you know, sometimes, you know, people hurry off and get discouraged, grumble, and turn away when the miracle is just around the corner. And sometimes also, instructions that God gave us are just around the corner. And when we are too impatient, we don't wait. You take the matter into your hands, and it doesn't work out. I'm going to tell you some of those stories in the Bible today. You know, and the Bible always likes to say, "And it shall come to pass." So it will come to pass. It will come to pass, you know, and it will definitely come to pass. Whatever the Lord has spoken will come to pass. Let's take a minute and share the room if you haven't shared it yet, because we are about to get into the word. Share the room put it on your, share it on Clubhouse, how to put it on your hallway, and then invite a few folks into the room. Just click on any ones that are green, you know, and just click on them, whether they come or not, that's okay. But if they come and they get a blessing, then you get a reward, you know. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, so we know that in the Bible, when Jesus was calling his disciples, say Andrew first findeth his brother Peter. And then, you know, he brought Peter to the Lord. So if you find something, and look at all the great things that Peter eventually did, you know. So, you know, Andrew gets a benefit for that because he is the one that brought Peter to the Lord. So if you bring somebody into a room and they are blessed, then you get the blessing. There's a day coming when the Lord, you know, would set things of reward in order. You know, he said, I will make you a crown of glory in my hand, said the Lord, and royal diadem. Oh, in the hands of the Lord, those little pearls that he will put in your crowns. You know, every time that your encouragement brings a shift in somebody's life for the better, you get a reward for it. That's exactly right. You know, when men are cast down, it says, thou shouldest say that there is a lifting up. You know, that means when people are down, we need to be encouraging them to let them know that there is a lifting up. You know, that's a twofold meaning there. It also means when others are down, you will be up because the Lord is with you. But also it means this thing that I'm talking about here, that, you know, when the when things are bad all around for people, you need to be telling them, look, you know, there can be a lifting up, and let's use an opportunity to put in a good word for the Lord everywhere we go. You know, let's have an opportunity. I mean, when the opportunity comes, let's seize it, you know, to give praise and glory to God. Job chapter 22, you know, and verse 29. When men are cast down, then thou shalt say that there is a lifting up, and he shall save the humble person. My goodness. And if God does that through your hands, you get a blessing for it. So today we're talking about just around the corner. There will be some good lessons. Well, all the lessons are good, but, you know, some good results and maybe some not so good because, you know, they didn't wait. So I'm just going to bring it all out so you can see both sides, you know, of when God is just around the corner and what we must do. You know, the psalmist, he said in Psalm 40, he said, I waited patiently for the Lord. You know, waiting patiently. That's something that many of us find hard to do. Be honest. You know, we find hard to do waiting patiently for the Lord. You know, sometimes we wait, sometimes we run off, you know, and, you know, sometimes we wait, but because of long wait, we get weary and then we run off. You know, just like the scripture says, the long hope wearies the heart. You know, people get weary and then they run off. And then sometimes we're waiting. God has given instructions, but then, you know, we get tired of waiting. And so we take the law into our own hands or take matters into our own hands. And that may not always work out well. So let's consider some stories here in the Bible, and we're going to use, some of these to pray, but I have a powerful declaration for everyone here this morning. You know, the first thing that we understand, you know, that as we have been saying in these rooms all the time since we opened this room, is that, you know, God has already given us a promise beginning this month in Genesis 8 and 5 that it is just within reach. That's right. The tops of the mountains are now seen, and it's just within reach. You know, so, you know, make no tarrying, oh my God, you know, he said. But Jesus said, look, even if he tarry, wait for it. Before I get into some of these stories in the Bible, I want you to think about that for just a minute. Think about the times that you may have been a little impatient. Do you know that this is the reason why a lot of people get into trouble in, you know, things, choices they make? Believers, you know, the reason why believers will run to an unbeliever for help. The reason why we go to the world for help, because we're not patient. God has given instructions of how to get healing. God has given instructions on how to get blessings. But when we're not patient, we run off, you know, and all that, you know, so, you know. We need to patiently wait for the Lord. And you don't know. You know, it may be just around the corner. You know. Now, you know, I personally believe that even though the Lord put that story of Abraham there for our benefit, you know, how he patiently waited for the promise. You know, I still think that, you know, he should have waited a little bit longer, you know, and not try to take matters into his hands. But he did take matters into his hands, you know. And when his wife came and said, look, I'm getting old. Now, this promise and so forth, I don't know about that. You know, you go in onto my wife, oh, Hagar, over here, you know, and maybe I'll have a child by her. Well, that was not the word of the Lord. That's not what the Lord said. Should have just waited, you know, because he was just around the corner. You know, I mean, you waited enough. I mean, sometimes we wait maybe 3 months, then we get discouraged. But maybe it was just around the corner. Sometimes we wait a couple of years and then we get discouraged. But maybe it was just around the corner. And all these problems we have in the world today, Arabs versus the Jews and all the Arab nations versus Israel and all of these things, perhaps could have been avoided, you know, if Abraham had just waited just a little longer, just a little longer. You know, never try to organize God's promise and try to work something out on your own. He does not work like that. Let's pick up this story. I'm going to tell you the story of the children of Israel. I love reading their stories because there's many, many lessons. You know, in the book of Exodus chapter 15, we start out with Moses singing the song of victory to the Lord because of what the Lord had done for them. You know, how he got rid of all their enemies in the Red Sea drama. So we all know that story. So that, but that's not the part of my story this morning. The part of my story that I want to talk about is actually towards the end of that chapter. You know, so many things that the Lord had done for them, but I want to call this out. There are many things that the Lord did for them, right? The Lord, you know, delivered them from Egypt with a high hand, the Bible says, with a high hand. He showed them incredible miracles. I mean, you know, not even a tongue would wag its tongue at them. You know, not even a dog would wag its tongue at them. Whereas, you know, the people on the other side were falling like fleas. I mean, creative miracles, calling out lies, calling out frogs, you know, darkness upon the land while they had light, you know. Everybody, you know, all of these things. And when the destroyer, the slayer came, you know, because they, you know, followed the instruction, they put the blood upon their doorpost. God saved everyone in their house. And I guarantee you, if any Egyptians had run into one of those homes that had the blood, even though that Egyptian was a firstborn and God has said, I'm going to slay all the firstborn this night. If any firstborn Egyptian had run into any of those Jewish homes, you know, if they had let him in and the blood was there, he would have been saved. The destroyer didn't come near any of those homes. Now that tells you, you know, how you could be a shield unto others because of the blessing that's on your life, you yourself, the blessing of protection. You can be a shield even to others, but they didn't do it. And all those, you know, so the God destroyed them all the Egyptians, their firstborn, whether it's man, cattle, everything. But he saved all the children of Israel. Nothing touched them. And despite all those miracles that they saw, even, you know, to capstone it all, the parting of the Red Sea, my goodness. And they going over on dry land, whereas their enemies are saying to do the same, were destroyed in it. After all of that, the people would still murmur against the Lord. Wow. So we'll pick up the story at verse 22 of Exodus 15. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness. Now, by this time, you know, they are all very weary. They've been walking, you know, for many days and many miles. They're all weary. You know, their supplies ran out. There was no water. And then, you know, then they came to Marah. And they found some waters there, but they couldn't drink it because it was bitter, you know, and it was like, ugh, you know, it was, you know, and it reminded them of when, you know, God turned the waters of Egypt to blood, and those guys, nobody could drink it. It's like, ugh, you know, they couldn't drink this thing, you know, so they called it Marah because it means bitter waters. But my goodness, God can turn those bitter waters to sweetness. And so the people murmured against Moses, saying, where shall we find drink? You know, where? In their hearts, they had it to hear with Moses. But Moses cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. And when he had cast, you know, the tree into the waters were healed. They were made sweet. Then he made a statute to them and an ordinance, you know. So this was a test and thing that the Lord was doing to these people to see if they will continue to believe the Lord, even in the face of difficulties, after God has shown many miracles. And this new challenge comes up. Will you continue to believe? Or will you murmur against the Lord? Yeah. And then, you know, Moses told them this incredible verse, which we always read. And he said unto them, you know, by the word of the Lord, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God and do that which is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep his statutes, all of them, then I will put none of these diseases upon you, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord thy healeth thee. But look at the next verse. The next verse is really where we are going. You know, this place called Elim was just around the corner from Marah. But the people didn't know it. So when they came to Marah, and there's always roadblocks along the way. When they came to Marah because of the bitter waters, they grumbled and murmured against Moses and the Lord. You know, but at Elim, just around the corner, God had prepared for them 12 wells of water. 12! I mean, it was like, I mean, how do you get wells in the water, in the wilderness? But God had prepared it. And it was like, wow. You know, there were 12 tribes of Israel, and God had prepared these wells. I mean, there were 10 palm trees there. There were all kinds of things. They were able to camp around it. They could eat, you know, from the palm trees. They could drink from the wells. You know, it was amazing. You know. But just the other day, they were grumbling because they couldn't see what was just ahead. And this is a remarkable story. You know, that when the blessing is just ahead, that's the time, most of the time, that people give up. Start grumbling, start complaining. Well, because we don't have a timeline. We don't know the timeline, you know. And so because we don't know the timeline, you know, we think, oh, well, we don't know what's going to happen. Maybe tomorrow will be just as bad as today. But why? Why can't we think that tomorrow is going to be a better day? You know, and I'll tell you one more story, then I'll tell you about tomorrow. So there's another story here. Didn't turn out too well for this guy. You know, the story is in 1 Samuel chapter 13. Didn't turn out, you know, too well for him. So in this story, the Philistines had gathered to fight with Israel. You know, 30,000 chariots and all that. We're told in, I'm picking up this story from 1 Samuel chapter 13. You know, Saul gathered all these people together. Saul was king at the time. But the Philistines came against them with 30,000 chariots, 6,000 horsemen, and people as the sand of the sea. You know, I mean, they just brought a whole multitude. You know, so they came up and they pitched in this place called Michmash, you know, and it was from, you know, eastward from Beth Aven. So when the men of Israel saw that they were in a strait, you know, they had nowhere to go. The people were all distressed. You know, then they began to hide themselves in caves, in thickets, in rocks, and high places, and in pits, and all of that. You know, and some of the Jews and Hebrews, you know, went over Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. And as for Saul, he was yet in Gilgal, and all the people followed him trembling. You know, but meanwhile, you know, Samuel had sent him word, and he tarried 7 days, you know, the set time that Samuel had told him. You know, Samuel was going to come, you know, and Samuel was the prophet, you know, and every time Samuel appeared, you know, well, it was either good news or something else, you know. But, you know, when they were in this distress and Samuel said he's coming, you know, I mean, there was hope. There was hope in the hearts of the people, you know, that Samuel is coming. I mean, we will hear the word of God. God will show us how to get rid of these enemies, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's all in their heart. You know, there's just hope. But Samuel said, yet 7 days and I will be there. And Samuel wasn't going to come tomorrow. Yeah, but it's going to come in 7 days, you know, yet 7 days and I'll be there, you know. But Saul said, well, he tarried the 7 days. He did, actually, according to the time that Samuel had appointed. But when Samuel came, not on that seventh day, all the people began to depart from Saul. Well, you told us Samuel was coming. Now, where is he? So it's like everybody scattered from him. You know, they just say, you know, you told us Samuel is coming. I've been hanging in here for 7 days. You told us he'll be here. And this is day seven. And he's not here. You know. And then Saul, he decided to take matters into his hands. He said, well, bring me hither a burnt offering to me and a peace offerings. And then he offered a burnt offering, which the king should never do. God had this triple crown ministry to the Jews: priest, prophet, and king. But the king could not be the priest. The priest could be the prophet. The prophet could be a priest. But the king could not be the priest or the prophet. And he overstepped his boundary here. Because he couldn't wait. Now listen to this next verse. This is the story. This is where the punchline for this story is at. You know. This is verse 10. 1 Samuel 13. And it came to pass. You know. That just as soon as he had made an end of the offering, the burnt offering, that behold, Samuel came. Wow. If he had just waited a little longer, just a little longer, you know, But somebody told him 7 days, and on the seventh day, the day hadn't quite finished yet. You know, but on the seventh day, you know, he was in a hurry. He was impatient. And he did something that would cost him everything. Everything. You know, he took matters into his hands. And it cost him everything. And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came. And Saul went out to meet him, that he might salute him. And Samuel said unto him, you know, Samuel was a prophet. He already discerned it. And he said, you know, what hast thou done? And Saul said, well, you know, Saul always liked to make excuses. You know, well, because I saw that all the people were leaving me, and you did not come within the days that you appointed. And the garrisons of the Philippines were gathered against me at Michmash. You know, so, you know, therefore I said, well, the Philippines are going to come down now upon me to Gilgal. You know, and I have not yet made my supplication unto the Lord. Why could you not have made your supplication unto the Lord? You didn't need Daniel, you know, you didn't need Samuel now to make supplication. You know, that's another problem, you know, with people. They're always waiting, you know, you have to wait for, you know, somebody to make supplication on your behalf. You could have made supplication on your own, and the Lord would have reminded him, you know, hold on, Samuel is on the way, you know. But, you know, he didn't want that relationship with God directly. All it was everything through Samuel. And then if that's what you wanted, then wait for it. But he wouldn't do it. You know, so, and then he said, I forced myself, therefore, and I offered a burnt offering. So he took matters into his hands. But Samuel was just around the corner. Should have just waited. But he didn't wait. And Samuel said to Saul, you have done foolishly. Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. You know, because the Lord commanded him, you know, to wait for Samuel. But he didn't. You know, and now, you know, you're going to lose everything because of that disobedience. My goodness, you know, and it was all because he wouldn't wait just a little longer. You know, it was just around the corner, but he didn't wait. But now thy kingdom, you know, God would have established your kingdom forever if you had kept his commandment, you know, but now thy kingdom shall not continue. For the Lord has sought him a man after his own heart, you know, that would do the commandment of the Lord. And the Lord had commanded him to be captain over his people because you have not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. Wow. And then you know the rest of the story. It was just around the corner, folks. But he couldn't wait. Wow. You know. And he lost everything because of it. Let's fast forward to Luke chapter 18. Jesus, he began to tell them, you know, some stories here, you know, and begin to encourage them to the intent that they ought always to pray and not to faint. That means, you know, always don't give up, because the victory might be just around the corner. You know, he told them the story of the judge who feared not God, neither regarded man. This woman who came and was always pleading with him, I avenge my case and everything. And he didn't for a while. But that right away, I said, look, this woman is going to weary me to death unless I get rid of her. You know, and the only way to get rid of this woman, because the woman was not going to turn loose. You know, after pleading with him enough one day, the man did not respond. She came back next day and the next day and the next day and the next day. You know, so he said, okay, fine. You know, let's do for her what she wants, you know, to get rid of her. He told that story. And Jesus said, look, hear what the unjust God judge said. You know, he said, this woman troubles me. If I don't avenge her, she's going to weary me out. You know, even though he didn't really care about her cause. So anyway, Jesus said, look at what the unjust judge said. And he said, shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto them, though he be along with them? You know, I tell you, verse 8 is where I'm going in this lesson. I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Now, it's speedy in the eyes of God. It may not be speedy in your eyes. But Jesus put something remarkable out here. Nevertheless, now you've been praying, you've been holding on to God, have you been believing God? You know, I don't know how long it is, 1 day, 1 week, 3 weeks, 3 months, 6 months, 1 year, even multiple years. We don't know how long it is, but Jesus said he will avenge. He's coming. But he said, look, when I finally show up, when the Son of Man finally shows up, when he finally shows up, will you still be at the point of faith? Or would you have run off? You know, this is the lesson here this morning. That's the way I read that verse. You can read it as, oh, when the Lord comes, you know, for the rapture and all that. You know, the rapture is many days hence, you know, so I'm not talking about that today. When the Lord finally gets ready to show up for your situation, will you still be believing? Jesus said, but when I finally show up, will I find faith? Will you still be at the point of faith? Or would you have run off? You know, most people run off when things are just around the corner. That's when they run off. But let me tell you some other stories about tomorrow. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to make some prophetic declaration in this room today about tomorrow. But hold on now. You know, sometimes it's not today. Sometimes it is tomorrow. And what does that mean? Well, tomorrow is just around the corner from today, you know, but it's not today, but it is tomorrow, you know, and that tomorrow may be a little tomorrow, maybe literally 24 hours or less than 24 hours from here. And it may be, you know, a spiritual tomorrow. I don't know. But sometimes it's not today, but it may be tomorrow. But I guarantee you, by the time we get through this room today, God will give you a word for tomorrow. So let's pick up this story in 2 Kings chapter 7. Now, you know, if you've read this story before, there's a lot of things in that story. But I want to pick up the one where, you know, Elisha, you know, what he said because of all the famine that had been in the land and all of that and so forth, you know, the Samaria and everything, and, you know, the Syrians, rather, had cut off their water supply and everything like that. And anyway, there's a lot going on. So I'll leave that part of the story alone, but I want to get on this one. So Elisha, one morning, he stood up and said, hear ye the word of the Lord. And everybody came to attention. But they knew he was a man of God. They knew he had a word for the moment, you know. And he said, thus saith the Lord. Tomorrow. Now, that's that word that I'm going to talk about for the next few minutes. Not today, but tomorrow. Why tomorrow? Why not today? You know, I'll tell you in a minute when we get to the next story why that's so. Tomorrow, about this time, shall a measure of fine flour. Now, there was nothing. Nobody could buy anything. Everything was so scarce. Famine in the place and everything. A dire situation. But he gets up and gives this incredible thing, statement. Tomorrow, by this time, same time tomorrow, things will just be so cheap. There will be so flourishing. I mean, people will be buying things almost for free. I mean, there will be so much. I mean, you know, you'll get 10 times as much, you know, 50 times as much as you could have got it. You know, he gave this incredible prophecy. And this, you know, I said, wow. You know, and I often like to give a story you know, an illustration that will help us to understand it in the time that we ourselves live in. So as you are here today, you know, you live in the time when here, you know, in the United States, gasoline prices have gone up so much. I hear that maybe in California, they're up to $7 a gallon or whatever. I don't know. Here in Arizona, you know, we're now at $5 a gallon and all that. There was a time when it was a dollar something, you know. So let's say Elisha was here, and let's say gasoline was being sold at $7 a gallon. And even at that $7 a gallon, people were queuing up. I know that, you know, in Nigeria, they have this gasoline crisis all the time. Well, sometimes it may be man-made, maybe artificial scarceness so that they can inflate the prices. But nevertheless, let's assume that that's the situation. So let's use the dollar to explain it. So $7 a gallon is what we're paying gas for right now. And it's even hard to find it. Even at that $7 a gallon, let's say, you have to line up and line up and line up. So let's say Elisha stands up, you know, and say, I just want you to imagine the magnitude of what he said. Let's say he just stands up and say, by this time tomorrow, gasoline will be sold everywhere for a nickel to the gallon. My goodness. All the way from $7 a gallon to the nickel to the gallon. That's how profound the statement that Elisha made here. Just think of it. You know, I'm just using storytelling here to bring this point out. That's how profound what he said. And then this guy said, yeah, this was a lord on, you know, that was right next to the king. It was probably like, you know, I don't know, maybe chief of staff, maybe whatever, you know. But anyway, you know, he answered the man of God and said, look, behold, if the Lord, I don't know why you should use the name of the Lord, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? Oh, come on now. if you say that to God, you're going to be the one that will lose out. You know, so if God, even if God made windows in heaven, how can such a thing be? I mean, how can we drop from $7 a gallon, you know, to a nickel a gallon just by tomorrow? Where is the supply going to come from? You know, and there was, in the natural, there was no way where the supply was going to come from. So, and the man of God said to him, well, you are going to see it with your eyes, but you will not eat the fruit thereof. My goodness. Now, that's not a place that anybody wants to be. When you go up against the word of promise like that, and the prophet says that to you, wow, that's not the place that you should be. The man should have just fallen down on his face and repented right there and say, Lord, have mercy upon me. But he didn't. You know. So, as the story went, we'll see at the end of the story that what Elisha said actually came upon him. But there were four lepers. Remember, Elisha said tomorrow. He didn't say today. Tomorrow. And I'll be talking about tomorrow for the next few minutes. Four lepers that were outside the city. Well, usually those lepers actually, you know, because of their leprosy conditions and so forth, you know, they're outcasts. So they were out of the city and they said within themselves, look, you know, why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter the city, which we shouldn't, but if we do say that, the famine is in the city anyway, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we shall also die here. So there were two things that were known. If you go into the city, you will die. If you stay here, you will die. Those were two things that were known. But there was one unknown factor. And listen to this as I begin to bring out, unpack this story. There were there was an unknown factor. And the unknown was, well, if we fall to the camp of the Syrians, what will happen? Maybe they will save us alive, then we shall live. And if they kill us, we will die. But two things we know. If we go backwards, we're going to die. If we remain here, we're going to die. But let's take a step in this direction. It's an unknown. Let's take a chance. Maybe they will save us. Maybe they won't. In any case, they kill us. It's not any worse than what we're going to face it here anyway. Or even if we went back to the city. So they said, well, let's do that. So they went to the host of the Syrians. They rose up at twilight. Now, that was the next morning. Remember, tomorrow. So they woke up in the morning, very early, and they went to the camp of the Syrians. And when they came to the uttermost part of the camp, in their hearts, it's like, well, maybe they'll kill us. Maybe they won't kill us. We don't know. But let's just take a chance. Maybe we'll beg for mercy. Maybe they'll take us for slaves. We don't know. But as they got to the place, there was not a single man there. My goodness. There's nobody there. What happened? And the Lord, you know, this is it. You know, and I've spoken on this before in another place when I preached this. I said, look, that it might come to pass. There's another subject line on that one. In order that the word of the Lord might come to pass, there are certain things that God can do and will do to put things into operation. And he can do things that will absolutely blow your mind. It just in order for the word that was spoken to come to pass. So now, in order for the word that Elisha had spoken to come to pass, this is what God had to do here. He took the footsteps of four lepers. They were just four lepers. I mean, you know, and in fact, they were tiptoeing. They were just tiptoeing to that place. Maybe they'll save us alive, maybe not. I mean, their heart was, you know, just beating. But they didn't know whether they would be killed or not. And God magnified, you know, their tiptoeing, their, you know, uncertainty as they were walking towards that camp. He magnified it even to the host, I mean, to the voice of thunders and hoops and thousands of horses and things like that. As they were coming to the camp of the Syrians, you know, God just magnified this thing. There was a rumbling. It sounded like chariots and horses and different things, hooves and raging chariots coming. But just four lepers are coming. A spirit of hallucination came upon all these people. But God was the one bringing the voice of chariots, horses, you know, hoofs and things like that, and charging army. And these Syrians, they packed up and left in a hurry. Because they said, wow, the king of Israel has hired the kings of the Hittites and the Egyptians and so forth to come upon us. So they ran off. They didn't even have time to gather their stuff. They just ran. Because the noise that they heard, that God put upon their ears to hear, you know, was just incredible. It was the noise of war. It was the noise of chariots and horses and things charging at them. But there was nothing like that. It was just four lepers that were coming. And so they ran off. That the word of the Lord spoken by the mouth of Elisha, the prophet, might be fulfilled. God magnifies the tiptoeing of four lepers who are afraid to the sound of a host of chariots and thundering and hoofs and horses and things like that. And they ran. And they left everything. Because they didn't have time. And so these lepers got there. Wow. They went into one tent. They began to eat and drink. They went into another one. Eat and drink. They saw gold and silver. They carried some. They went and buried it. They came back. They did some more. And then, I mean, until they were, I mean, just like, wow, this is amazing. And then they said, ah, This is not a good thing for us to keep this to ourselves. Let's go and tell, if we wait until the morning light, this was twilight. The day hadn't fully broken. If we wait until morning light, some mischief might come upon us because we are holding this great news that we see today. So they went and told it to the king's household. So the porter of the city, he went and told them, say, look, they told their story. When we got there, they had fled. There was nothing and so on and so forth. So he called the porters, they told the king's house and all that. The king then arose. It was still night, but it was already the next day. And he said, well, I'm going to show you now what the Syrians had done to us. They know that we are hungry and they set a trap for us. If we go like this, go high, go there, they've hidden and they just come upon us and they'll kill us. So the servant said, look, okay, let's check it out. Send a few folks and go check it out. And then they went and checked it out. Now, in the meantime, by the time they went and came back, it was daytime. So they took two chariots, went to go and see, and they went and searched it out, and it was just like they said. And then when they went, the messengers came and told the king. And all the king people said, wow. So they rushed out to go and spoil the tents of the Syrians. And so a measure of fine flour, they carried out so much, it was only the people that got there late that didn't have plenty. People had so much. It was just, things were just flowing. So they were selling for so cheap, and so a measure of fine flour was sold for a shekel and two measures of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord by the mouth of his servant Elisha. So in order that this word might come to pass, which he said tomorrow, look at all the things that God did. And it came to pass, as the man of God has spoken to the king, it came to pass exactly like that. And when, the Lord, chief of staff or whoever that was next to the king, the king appointed him, to take charge of the gate because the people were rushing. There was a stampede. And, so as he stood in the gate, wow. The people rushed him down. Nobody was obeying any law. There was just a stampede. And he fell down. The people that were rushing over him trampled him down. And it came to pass exactly as Elisha had said that, look, you will see it, but you won't eat of it because you have not believed the word of God. But back to our storyline today, it was just around the corner. Tomorrow, he said. Not today, but tomorrow. Let me tell you another story about tomorrow, which means it's just around the corner. This is another popular story that we all know in the life of Jehoshaphat. So there was a great multitude that came against Jehoshaphat. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles and 20. They came. There were three countries that came against them. There was Moab, there was Ammon, and then Mount Seir and all these people, they just came against them. So Jehoshaphat feared greatly because of the noise of war, the rumor of war and all of that. But he set himself to seek the Lord and he proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. That's always a good thing. So 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 3. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. That's a great thing to do. When you are faced with situation that's beyond your means, it's a good thing to cry out unto the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah, and so forth. And he said, O Lord God, our fathers, art thou not the God in heaven? And do you not rule over the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hand is there not power and might? Wow. that there is none able to withstand thee? Had not thou, our God, that didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people? Now, when you begin to tell God all these great things that he has said, the Lord said, you know, put me in remembrance. Declare it again, that we may be justified. Begin to, that you may be justified. Begin to declare all the great things. Are you not the one that done all these great things and gave it to the seed of thy, you know, Abraham, thy friend forever? And they have dwelt there, built you a sanctuary and so forth. You know, and they said, look, if evil come upon us as a sword, such as today, judgment or famine or pestilence or whatever, when we stand in thy house and we pray, for thy name is in this house, it's still right there. You know, remember Solomon, he prayed that prayer when they opened the temple. And then we cry unto thee in our affliction that, you know, thou wilt hear and help. And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, which you would not allow us, you know, so he pleading his cause now. You should have let us destroy them when we pass through. But you said, don't touch them, just pass through. Now, look at what they are doing for us. See how they turned the good that we gave them into evil. You did not allow us to touch them when we passed through the land, you know. But now they have turned, you know, against us. And see how they reward us, he said. They have come to cast us out of thy possession and to disinherit us, you know. They have come to disinherit us from the inheritance of the Lord. You know, will God, oh God, will thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company. You know, but listen to this next sentence. This is great. You know, we know not what to do against them, but our eyes are upon you. Now, that's the beginning of your miracle right there. When you are overwhelmed with whatever it is that's all around you, but if you can turn, not only remind God of all the things that he has done, and you can say, Lord, I don't know what to do against this great company, but my eyes are upon you. Oh, my goodness. You know, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your understanding. Now, if you can put it on the Lord like that, God's going to do something. So they stood there before the Lord with all their little ones and children, wives, everybody waiting. What's the Lord going to do? And the Lord would have mercy upon them. Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, and the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph. He came. I mean, the Spirit of God came upon him, and he stood up in the midst of the congregation. Remember, all Israel had gathered together praying in the house of the Lord. And Jehoshaphat was reminding God, the prayer that Solomon prayed, 1 Kings 8, when they opened that temple and said, look, if when your people are tormented and afflicted, they come in and pray in this place, hear thou from heaven. And he said, we don't know what to do against these people, but our eyes are upon you. And the Lord said, your eyes are upon me. Okay, here's what I'm going to do. And this man, the Spirit of God came upon him. And he said, hearken ye all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you. I love that. You know, thus saith the Lord. Be not afraid, nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Ooh, glory to God. Tomorrow, now not today, that's that word again. It's just around the corner, folks. Tomorrow, not today, but tomorrow. Why tomorrow? We'll get to that in a minute. Tomorrow, ye shall go down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and you begin to tell them. You find them at the end of the brook, you know, by the wilderness of Jeruel. But you shall not need to fight in this battle. No, not this one. You know, all you have to do is set yourselves in array, but be standing still. Just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, told them again, and be not dismayed. Tomorrow, not today, go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Now, if they had gone out that day, they would all have been destroyed, because the Lord said tomorrow, just round the corner, but not today. Tomorrow, you know, And this is what people should be doing when they hear God's promise that's just around the corner. The people in the days of Elisha, when he prophesied that great miracle that will happen in 2 Kings 7 that we read, they didn't do it, but they should have done it. But God, you know, had mercy upon them anyway, in order for the word of God to be fulfilled. But this is the right way to do it. When the Lord gives you a declaration of tomorrow, and this is the reason why he often says tomorrow rather than today. He gives you time today to worship. Praise God. Gives you time to worship. To worship because the Lord, you know, there is an expectation in your heart for tomorrow. That is just around the corner. But today, not tomorrow. Today, you worship. Tomorrow, will the Lord do the thing which he has spoken in your ears. That's right. But today, you worship. Today, why it is called this day, harden not your heart. Begin to worship when you hear the proclamation of the Lord that's just around the corner for you. So Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. You know, when the king is leading like that, all of them would do the same. They follow suit. And all the kings and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, everything, they fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord because of what he said. They haven't seen it yet. But they said, well, this is what the Lord promised. Jehoshaphat believed it in his heart. You know, not everyone in that bunch of people that were in there believed it, but because they followed suit, the king believed it, you know. And so, you know, the king started to worship and, you know, just praise the name of the Lord. You know, and then, you know, all of the Levites and everything, they stood up to praise the Lord. You know, they begin to give in a loud voice, you know, and so forth. They just begin to rejoice because they heard what the Lord was going to do. Lord said, look, you're not going to need to fight in this battle. The battle is yours. You just go to a certain place and watch and see what the Lord's going to do. So when they rose up early in the morning, they went forth, you know, to the wilderness of Tekoa. And Jehoshaphat stood and said, here, oh, you know, in those days, the kings, they led the battle, you know, and he said, you know, here, oh, Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. And he's going to tell them, look, believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe also his prophets, and so shall ye prosper. The word of the Lord already came to us. So let's believe it. That's how we're going to prosper. And he challenged the people. He charged the people to do that. And then he talked to all the people and said, look, you know, give me all the best singers and sons of Asaph and all these people that know how to praise the beauty of holiness. You know, he appointed singers that they should praise the beauty of holiness. And then he said, look, the Lord already said we're not going to fight. You know, the army was already set. The commander of the army said, we're ready. We have a battle plan. Jehoshaphat said, no, the Lord said, you're not going to need to fight in this thing. You know, said, look, all you singers, you know, that know how to dance and praise the beauty of holiness and, you know, sing the hornet and the tambourines and the timbrel and make this praise glorious, you go out in front of the army. And everybody's like, are you crazy? You know, these people are not battle tested. They should be in the back. We should go first, and when we win the battle, then they can praise the Lord. You know, Jehoshaphat said, no. The Lord said, you are not fighting, so let's praise him first. Glory to God. So he put the praisers, he put the singers in front of the army. But that was tomorrow. That was the next day. It wasn't the day before. It was the day appointed by the Lord. You know. And when they went out against them, the Bible says, when they began to sing and to praise, and Jehoshaphat commanded them, you know, you begin to say, praise the Lord for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to do that and just say, praise the Lord, their voices ran out. Praise the Lord for his mercy endureth forever. Praise the Lord. And they are going in anticipation of some great thing that the Lord is going to do because the Lord said, don't worry about it. I'm going to fight this battle for you. And they're just praising the beauty of holiness. They're just dancing. They're just rejoicing. They're praising God. But they are going towards the battle and they're like, whoa. So Mount Seir, Ammon, and Moab, they stood up, you know, to fight them. But the Lord turned ambushments against them. When they began to praise and to sing, the Lord said ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, you know, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. And how did the Lord do it? You know, he took Ammon and Moab. You know, they colluded together and they began to fight and destroy Mount Seir. Now, when they finished, when they had made an end of destroying Mount Seir, then two of them faced each other and began to destroy the other. And they destroyed themselves. They just wiped themselves out, all that great multitude. You know, my goodness. And the people were just standing the top of the, those who were in the watchtower, they were looking. And the next thing they saw, dead bodies everywhere. Everywhere. And then Jehoshaphat and his people came and made a spoil of them. So you now see how the Lord, when things are just around the corner, how we need to do. I showed you some stories that were not so good, but I'm showing you the story here that is good. We're ending on this positive note. This is a man that believed God for what God said. And he began to rejoice and began to praise the beauty of holiness and see what the Lord did. Hallelujah. So this should be our posture. This is what we want our posture to be. You know, see what the Lord has promised, or listen to what the Lord has promised. And while you're waiting for it, begin to worship and begin to pray. Don't wait first and say, well, when the Lord does that great thing which he has promised, then I will praise him. No. When you have heard that great thing which the Lord has promised, then you begin to praise him. Praise God. That's what accelerates the miracle in coming to you much more quickly than it would have. So this is our lesson today. And I want to tell you that it's just around the corner. And I will make a declaration today. Just like Elisha did, and just like Jehaziel did here, you know, and yesterday I was in our service on the ground here. The Lord had told me before that when I went in there, I said, Lord, what am I going to preach? And he said, well, you're not preaching. You're going to prophesy. Glory to God. And I came in there and said, well, what am I going to prophesy? Well, and he took me to Ezekiel chapter 37. And he said, you prophesy like that. So I got up on there and I read the story and I began to prophesy. Glory to God. Prophesy. You know, and I charge the people, say, when you hear the word of prophecy, begin to praise the Lord. Because that's how it's going to come to pass. Now, people walked out of there. They didn't see it just yet because it was still around the corner. But I guarantee you, it's coming. And if you were there and listen, or don't take matters into your hands. Just begin to worship. And just begin to praise the Lord. And the Lord will sometimes do that, you know, to raise anticipation and expectation in our hearts. You know, he may say, you know, it shall come to pass, and it will be some days from the day that he said that. It may be the next day. It may even be years. We don't often know, you know, what the Lord has in mind, but it will always come to pass. Glory to God. And Elizabeth said to Mary, he said, there shall be a performance of those things. Blessed is she that believeth. You know, and I see a lot of sisters and women in this room today. And I say to you, blessed is she that believeth. You know, what the Lord has told her. For there shall be a performance of those things that were told you from the Lord. And to the man also the same thing. Blessed is he that believeth. Jehoshaphat believed. He was a man too. You know, men, women alike. Doesn't make the Lord any difference. Blessed is he or she that believeth. For there shall be a performance of those things which were told you from the Lord. But it's just around the corner. But you got to wait for it. Don't run off now. Because when the Lord finally shows up in your situation, will you still be at the point of faith? So that's our lesson for this morning. And now I'm going to make some declaration. And we're going to pray together. And then I want to hear your comments, you know. And then we're going to see what the Lord will do for us. And you go away from this room today. Remember, it's tomorrow. Tomorrow, you know, spiritually speaking, maybe as soon as you step out of this room, who knows? It may be literally tomorrow. Or it may even be sometime this week. It may be next week. It may be next month. I don't know. But it's just around the corner. Because that's what the Lord put in my heart to declare this morning. And I pray in the name of the Lord that my voice this morning and anyone in the hearing of my voice, to you, it has been an encouragement. And it's just around the corner. And I give you charge in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, before this host of witnesses and before the holy angels, that thou take these things that have been spoken here this morning, take them to heart, and do not take matters into your own hands. Wait for it. Abraham, because of the voice and pressure from his wife Sarah, took matters into his hands. He was just around the corner. He had waited all these years. You know, he should have just waited a little more. Just a little longer. Look at all the mess we have now today between the Arabs and the Jews. Because he wouldn't wait, you know. When I listened to the voice of his wife, he should have just waited a little longer. Look at the story of Samuel. I'm summarizing now in case you missed these things. So you can listen to the replays later on. Samuel. Look at the story of Saul, I want to say. In 1 Samuel chapter 13. Samuel was just around the corner. I told them, yet 7 days and I'll be there. You know. And then Saul got impatient. And on the seventh day, the day hadn't even passed. He said, well, you know. All the people said, well, where is he? You know, and they left. Because they knew that when Samuel came, there would be victory. But they left. They wouldn't wait. And so Saul said, well, okay. You know, I better make this sacrifice on my own. And it was the thing that cost him the throne forever. But took matters into his hands. Folks, this is not the time to take matters into your hands. You know, the hands of the Lord are very capable. You know, now I'm praying first and then I'm going to declare. Lord, I pray this morning. Let your word be verified that I have spoken here this morning. That which you have spoken by your mouth, which I have echoed here this morning. Lord, let it be verified in the lives of your people. That which you have spoken by your mouth, let your hand perform it as it is this day in the lives of your people that believe your word in Jesus' name. Even as you have said that the word is given and it shall not return void, but must prosper unto where it is sent and accomplish the purpose for which the Lord sent it. Do your good pleasure in your word unto your people this morning. That you have said, shall not the God of heaven avenge his people that cry unto him day and night? Verily, verily, I say unto you, saith the Lord, he will avenge you speedily. But when I come and I show up in your situation, will you still be at the point of faith? Father, I pray that your people will not be like the children of Israel, whose story we have read this morning, who after all those great miracles and a high hand by which the Lord brought them out of the land of Egypt, even making them to cross through this Red Sea as on dry land, the which their enemies trying to do are overthrown in the sea. After all of that, going just a few days in the wilderness without water, began to grumble and to murmur against the Lord. But it was just around the corner. Just around the corner, Lord, you have prepared 12 wells for them in Elam. But they murmured at the waters of Marah just because it was bitter. Yet the Lord turned it into sweetness. Father, in the name of Jesus, make us like Jehoshaphat, who in the day of his trouble turned to the Lord rather than murmuring against God. Who in the days of his trouble cried unto the Lord and reminded God of all the great things that God had done in the past. And while reminding God, he reminded himself. And he said, Lord, we have no might to go up against these people, but our eyes are upon you. And so I pray, I stand in the gap on behalf of everyone that's in this room today and everyone listening. Lord, many times, you know, the things, the situations that overwhelm us, they completely overwhelm us. And we have no might against the situation sometimes. But Lord, our eyes are upon you this morning. And I want you to turn your eyes to the Lord this morning. Turn your eyes to him completely. You know, it is not dead. It's only sleeping. That's right. I said that in the church yesterday. It's not dead. Even though it looks dead, it's only sleeping. And it's just a matter of time. You know, 4 days in the grave and Jesus can still call him out. Because as far as Jesus is concerned, it's not dead, it's only sleeping. There is hope of a tree. The Bible says in Job 14 and 7 that even though it be cut down, there's things that have been cut down in your life. Now I'm going to my declaration. There have been things that have been cut down. There have been discouragement. There have been disappointments. There have been quote unquote failures. But the child of God never fails. Because Deuteronomy 31 and verse 8 says, it is the Lord that doth go with you. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. He will not fail you. Therefore, be not dismayed and do not fear. For the Lord is with you. He it is the one that has spoken the word of encouragement unto you today. That it's just around the corner. And may your song, not many days hence, be, see what the Lord has done. See what the Lord has done. What we have waited for has come to pass. See what the Lord has done. That will be your song. In the name of Jesus, not many days hence, but you must hang in there. You must continue to trust the Lord and worship while you're waiting. Praise the beauty of holiness while you're waiting. Exalt him who is the Almighty God. He that is able to do. There is a word in my natural language that says, Alewile she. In other words, when he says it, he can do it. And he also says, Ale she le we. What he said he will do, that he will do. And he will do what he said he will do. He will, you know, do. I mean, the Lord is so powerful like that. When he says it, all we need to do is worship. And for those of you in here this morning, behold, said the Lord, lift up your heads and let not your head be bowed down. For I heard you, the Lord says, in a time acceptable. Glory to God. I have heard you. Glory to God. And it heads unto you today while you were yet speaking. I heard. And even when the word was in your mouth and in your heart, I heard it too. And behold, I am now come forth, glory to God, to bring you a swift miracle. And when it starts, saith the Lord, it shall come like a flood. And you shall see it and you shall praise the name of the Lord your God. And did not God say that my people shall eat in plenty and they shall praise the name of the Lord? Did Lord God say that the floors and the vats shall be full of wheat and oil and that my people shall never be put to shame? You will never be put to shame. For it shall come to pass, saith the Lord. And I'm making my declarations now. You believe it, you can receive it, you can put amen in the chat room. For it shall come to pass that as many as call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For the thing which you have waited for, it shall be said of you, has come to pass. Ooh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, I don't know how long you've been waiting. You know, I don't know how much longer you got to wait, but it is tomorrow by the word of the Lord. It's just around the corner. You know, God wants you today, when you hear his voice, use today to worship. Use today to praise the name of the Lord as you wait for the breakout tomorrow. Glory to God. And I prophesied emergence to the people yesterday. I said, it's time for you to emerge. You know, it's time for the dry bones to come together again. And the Lord said, prophesy. And I did. He commanded me. And he said again, prophesy. First prophesy upon the bones. And then prophesy to the wind. You know, and I prophesy even upon some dry bones here today. In the name of the Lord, hear the word of the Lord, bone to bone, flesh to flesh, come back together in the name of Jesus. Then I prophesy, I turn unto the winds, and I say this morning, come from the four winds and blow upon this bone, and let there be breath in them. God will energize your dead dreams. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. The hopes and aspirations of your heart before the Lord today, they are already alive. Nothing is dead before him, just sleeping. In the words of Romans chapter 4 and verse 17, I prophesy this morning that God who raises the dead will command for you things out of nothing. He will bring things out of nothing. And he will set things in order. And in the name of the Lord, I prophesy today. Because the Bible says in the words of Isaiah chapter 44, that I am the Lord, you know, that frustrates the talkings of liars. Glory to God. You know, I want to prophesy and frustrate the talkings of liars today. All the lies that the enemy has told you that you can't make it. It cannot be done. You are broken. And you are finished. That's what the enemy would like you to believe. But the Lord said, it is I that doth go before thee. You know, I will not fail you. And I will not forsake you. Therefore, be not dismayed. And do not fear. You know, the Lord says, I am he that frustrated the talkings of liars. And make diviners to be mad. And I turn backwards, even wise men. Glory to God. And I make their knowledge foolish. Every demonic pronunciation against you that I said you cannot make it. All the tokens of liars. I frustrate them. I prophesy frustration against them this morning. In the name of Jesus. In the words of Job chapter 5 and verse 12. I prophesy confusion in the camp of the enemy. I prophesy this morning. Let even the Lord. That maketh the heavens by himself, that stretched out the earth alone, heavens alone by himself, build the earth upon nothing, hangeth it upon nothing, and stretch the heavens out as a curtain to dwelling. I prophesy in his name, thus saith the Lord, let the devices of the wicked be frustrated. Let their hands be not able to perform any of their enterprise concerning you. I prophesy against the hands that have tried to cover the flame and your light. Glory to God. I prophesy against them. Let those hands be burnt and let the flame shine through in Jesus' name. Those are the hands of the devil. It's not human beings. I saw the hands. One time God showed me that. Try to cover your your flame. Can't do it too. Praise God. I prophesy against the agreement of hell and death. I nullify them this morning. You know, many years ago, the Lord showed me the devil taking out a contract, you know, against the Lord's people. He took out a contract and he was trying to write it, and I was looking as he was trying to write it, but I couldn't see anything. I'm like, what in the world is going on? And I heard a voice that said, void! We are prohibited by law. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Every contract, every agreement with death, every contract with hell shall be disannulled. It is void. We are prohibited by God's law of liberty for you. Even here in the state of Arizona and in many states across this great country, you know, you can take out a contract, you can sign a contract, but there's an underlining premise under every contract. It is void. We are prohibited by law. You may sign it, but if the law of the land prohibits it, then it is void. Likewise, also, I say that everything that the enemy has taken out or tried to take out against you is void. Because of the blood of Jesus that covers you. Amen. Woo. Thank you, Jesus. And now, oh Lord, I got that fire out of my bones. I made that declaration to your people. Do that which you have said here, Lord, that said, I am the Lord that confirmeth the word of my servant and performeth my counsel. The counsel that I put in the mouth of my messengers, do it, O Lord. Even as thy people go through the day to praise your name and to rejoice in the beauty of holiness. From the womb of the morning, such as this, you have commanded the dew of youth, the dew of heaven. I command and release the dew of heaven to everyone here this morning in the name of Jesus, just around the corner. But you must wait for it. You must tarry in praises. Tarrying in praises and tarrying in worshiping the Lord before the set time comes. There is a set time in his mind that he has appointed, and he will do it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I thank you, Lord, for your word. Your word will catch up with the people because you have sent the word, and great is the company that's going to publish it and establish it in our lives. It will not return void. And so will God cause things to be lined up for you to the intent that he might fulfill the words that you have heard today, that it might be fulfilled. That which the Lord has spoken in this room today, God will line things up and they will fall into place. For it is written, you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And all the trees of the field, in the words of Isaiah 55 and 12, shall be lined up to celebrate your success. They'll clap their hands for you. May God bless his word in your heart. As you patiently wait for the Lord. Amen. In praising, not in grumbling. Don't take matters to your hands. The Lord has promised. And at the appointed time, he will show you what to do. For he has said in his word, in the words of Isaiah 48 and 17, I am the Lord that teaches you how to make profit. I will do it too. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. I give you, Lord, all the praise. And I give you all the glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. And amen. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's our charge for you this morning. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Sister Maggie, I want to bring you up first. I want to sing happy birthday to you this morning. Come on up. Let me sing for you. It's Sister Maggie's birthday today. Yes, Sister Maggie, come here. Don't hide there. Come here. You know, I want to sing happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Come on, help me sing for Sister Maggie. Happy birthday
to you.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Now, Sister Maggie, I want to declare, I want you to be the first to receive this declaration here this morning because it's your birthday. Listen to this. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, my sister. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, my sister. Many blessings be granted to all the way. All the way prosperity and long life to you, we pray. Happy birthday, and may the Lord grant you the desires of your heart. And on this start of this, your new year, may the mountains, the tops of the mountains be visible. Glory to God. And even in this year for you, the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 to 5, and Micah chapter 4, verses 1 to 5, says exactly the same thing. He said, it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established upon the tops of the mountains. Oh, yes. I know you want to get to the top of the mountain spiritually with God. And may that mountain of the house of the Lord be established for you as he brings you to the top of the mountain to commune with you. Say, there will I meet with you. And I will show you, I will cause my goodness to pass before you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Sister Maggie, God bless you. You have the mic. Now hearing you.
Praise much, sir. Much, sir. And thank you, everyone.
Thank you, everyone.
I'm just so grateful. And I receive all the prayers. What a blessing for me today. All the declarations, they are all for me. And I say thank you,
thank
sir.
Thank you, sir.
God bless you. The Lord will encourage you. The Lord will abound upon more grace and strength. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, everyone. Full of joy, my heart is overwhelmed with joy. Thank you.
We can't hear you, Samantha.
Well, she's low, but she's audible. She's just a bit low. She's just saying that, you know, she her heart is overwhelmed. And she receives all the blessing and she's thanking everybody in the room. Praise God. God bless you, Sister Maggie. Thank you. We love you. You know that. So enjoy this day. It's your day. Hallelujah. And it's just around the corner. Everything that you have believed God for or you're believing God for, this shall be your song in just a bit. See what the Lord has done. See what the Lord has done. What we have waited for, all we have waited for, has come to pass. See what the Lord has done. Hallelujah. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for being in the room with us. I believe it's been a powerful declaration for you. You know, let me just go around the room. You know, I'm going to save the best for the last. Honey, you will go last. Let me go to all these people first. You know, I want you to open your mic, Sister Pearl, and give your reaction to the declarations in the room today.
Good morning, everyone. God bless everyone. I'm sorry, I'm feeling a little under the weather today. So It's like God is just reading. God knows everything, but Pastor Yato is like, this was the specifically. I know that some promises that I've been praying for have been coming to pass. And just last night, I began to doubt. And I began to murmur in my heart. And I know that this word was specifically for me. Even though I felt sick today, I still got on the line. The Lord just told me, just get on the line and just receive the word. And I just thank God so much for just loving me enough to be able to minister to me. This word was completely for me. And I thank God for encouragement and just renewal and just learning to trust in him. I'm sorry, I'm emotional. I don't want to talk much.
Amen. You know, I can tell you, you know, why you may be a little sick this morning. You know, you need to avoid burnout. You know, it's been, you've just been doing too much. You know, there is a burnout, you know, and our bodies will react to that, you know, but it's an opportunity for you to just, you know, step back a little bit, relax, and just, you know, refresh. We don't want to be burnt out, you know, that's the word to everyone here in this room today. You know, don't get yourselves burnt out, you know, and when that burnout is coming, your body is going to react. You just can't do it. You know, we can't do it. You know, this body was not made for, you know, for like that, you know, so take some time, Pearl, you know it, and the Lord will refresh you. But here is a word, you know, of refreshment also for you. When you feel, you know, burnt out like that, when you feel like, you know, and this is not just for her, this is for everybody in the room. When you feel like a pelican, you know, in the dark, you know, and the desert, an owl in the night, you know, just praise the Lord and he will refresh you in the breeze of his spirit. That's right. He will refresh you. You know, so that's one of the things that, you know, praising the Lord, you know, does for us is to refresh us. Glory to God. Jesus said to his disciples one time, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest for a while. You know, so sometimes we got to do that. So, Pearl, we love you and, you know, recoup and take some time to, scale back a little bit and just relax and let God replenish you. But thank you for your faithfulness, for coming into the room all the time. Even though you were not feeling too well, you came anyway. You know, it's called commitment and the Lord will reward that. So God bless you. And, you know, he will also make you feel much better speedily, but you know, it's an opportunity for you to just relax. That's all it is. So don't worry about it. You know, he is with you. He loves you too. Good to hear from you. God bless you this morning. Let me go to Sister Julia. Sabuki, how are you doing this morning?
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. God bless you, sir. I am doing well. Tired, but I'm here. I'm here. I'm here. Well, I'm going to start talking today by just repenting and confessing my unbelief. I'm not sure if my husband is here still. He's at work, but he logged in earlier. You know, we read a lot about all the people and how God was telling them to go in one direction and they went another direction. And as that word was going, I said, that looks like me. There was that conviction in my heart that maybe that could be me. You know, we're talking about just around the corner. So Yesterday we talked a little bit. I put a prayer request out about the business that we had started. And things got really tough. It's like being in a war, being in a battle, and you're losing the battle. Everything was just coming against. I mean, as a child of God, you know, you go back in prayer and you seek the face of God and say, hey, what's going on? You know, we were just working and it looked like the profits were not coming because the insurance companies that we were dealing with were just being really difficult and they wouldn't pay. You know, you see patients, we toil. That scripture came to me. We have toiled all day and cut nothing. During that time, that was exactly where we were. You know, things were just trickling in and it looked like, oh my God, but every month it doesn't fail. You have your overhead have to be covered. And so I had to jump out and run and work other jobs just to keep the business running. It was very difficult, very difficult. Not making excuses, but I just was so overwhelmed, very tired physically. Spiritually, I couldn't even find my way. It was like groping in the dark at the time. That was like 6 months from April when I left my full-time job to around August. Very difficult season of my life to the point that my soul despaired. Many times I will wake up and the devil will say, just kill yourself. Just end it all. You won't have to face the shame. And you won't have to deal with this. It was really bad. I was in this melancholic state. Yes, I was living, but I wasn't living. And I just was exhausted physically, spiritually, and everything. I kept telling my husband, babe, I can't do this. I just need to stop. And my husband would say, no, you don't give up. You keep going. The man will work two jobs. He will work his job and still work with us in the office and just was trying to keep us going. And it got to a point I said, I can't. We went to the Lord in prayer. And this is the point of my confession. And every time we prayed, the Spirit of the Lord would say, keep going, keep going, keep going. And so my husband would look at me and say, we got to keep going. And it got to a point one day we prayed and we still didn't get the stop that I was looking for. The Lord didn't say stop, but I told him, I said, I have to stop. I'm just tired. I don't want to do this anymore. And I just told him, I said, I have to pause because I felt like I need to gain myself back. And so that's why we put the pause on it. So I'm saying this because the Bible says we should confess our faults one to another. This word that was brought today, I believe was for me, is for me, and I receive it. I receive it. I thank God for restoration. The first 2 days I came on this room was divine. One, the first day I came in, after the message went on, the Lord said, take this day and fast and, you know, just refresh yourself. Because I was just emotionally and spiritually exhausted. And I did that, and I came springing back. Plus, I joined other lines where prayers were going on. So I am fully restored emotionally and spiritually. I feel much energized. And I thank you, sir, for waking up and putting all this work. It's not in vain and it will not be in vain. So people like me, I was just dying inside with all the pressure and the confusion that was going on in my heart. I couldn't find my way, but God is good. God is good because he's a restorer. He says, the years that the canker worm and the palmer worm and the caterpillar have eaten, I will restore. You know, I hung on hope. I will pray every day and I'll say, God, even if I don't have faith, I'm going to hope in you. I know you never fail. You're a great God. And I just hung up, you know, on hope. And I said, God, just help me. I will wake up every day and just lift my hands to heaven and say, just God, help me. You know, God in his mercy, I contacted my old boss and I said, you know, is my job still there? Can I come back? And, you know, in God's mercy, because she could have said no. She said, oh, yeah, I'll hire you back in a heartbeat. And she took me back in because at that time, you know, we were spending all our savings and wood. And I went into panic mode. My husband would not panic. You know, it's like, we'll be fine. We'll be fine. But I was like, no, I don't like the way everything is going. So anyway, my boss hired me back, which I thank God for. I have something to do, because for me, idleness and not being able to work was just not the way I roll. I was like, no, I need to be doing something to keep my mind busy and all whatnot. I bless God. I want to, I just said that so that, I wanted to lay that on the table before the Lord and say, Lord, I'm sorry because I didn't believe when you said, go ahead and keep going. I couldn't see it and my faith couldn't do it. But I know that God is able, and his word never fails, you know. So this morning, I want to just believe that every word that has been spoken today, I receive. I'm going to actually go and replay this whole message again and really meditate upon it and take it in. But as the word was going forth, I wrote a lot of things down this morning. And you had said, and I believe it, you know, God will, he will energize our dead dreams. And him, that scripture in Romans 4:17, I just latch on to this morning. The Lord that gives life to things that are dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they do. And I say from my heart, I say, thou Lord God that made the heavens and the earth by thy great power, nothing is too difficult for you. For every one of us that have heard this word today, Lord God, I say nothing is too difficult for you. And those dead dreams and those desires that we have, Lord, you are more than able. You that brought forth that water, that turned that bitter water into sweet, you are still God. You can do exceedingly abundantly above that which we can ask or think. And I just thank you, God, because you bring us meat in due season. You never fail to meet us at the point of our needs. And I just thank you, Lord Jesus, for your faithfulness and your truth. And I thank you, sir, for all the hard work. I know how hard this can be for you, preaching in the day and preaching in the night. You will not lose your reward in Jesus' name. I thank you, ma, for the support, for the love, and everyone in this room. Because if we don't show up, the man of God cannot continue. He can't preach to himself. So I thank God for this opportunity, for this grace and mercy that he's showing us. I just bless his name this morning. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that you are doing, all that you have done, and all that you will yet do. I say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Wow. Powerful. And yes, that you brought to the altar this morning is pleasant before the Lord. He will accept it. He will send his fire. He will lick it up. That's right. He will lick it up. And I'm reminded by this story, you know, by your what you said of this story in Luke chapter 5. And that was another case of, you know, just around the corner where people are giving up. And thank you for sharing that story. In Luke chapter 5, Simon and his friends, they were out fishing, you know, and, you know, they had caught nothing, but these were skilled fishermen. They caught nothing, you know, and I'm going to say another point here that we've got to take in and listen to this. When Jesus came and said to them, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon said, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, I want to key in on the word nevertheless this morning for just a minute. I won't take too long. But Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 will give you the secret of how you use the word. When you receive the word from the master, either by studying the scriptures yourself, the Holy Spirit speak to you, you must do like this. You must look at the word, you know, knowing that the word is able to go beyond your circumstances. You know, Simon said, look, We've been at it all night long. We didn't catch anything, but nevertheless. And that's what the word of God says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. It says, the word of God separates between the soul and the spirit. The soul is where all the doubt, the emotion, like Sister Buki was saying, oh, you know, this and that, I was tired, I couldn't go on and all of this and so on. I just couldn't do it. The spirit is the one that says, get up at his word. You can do it. You know, Simon was tired. Peter, they were all tired. They were all night long. They caught nothing but a multitude of fish just around the corner at the master's word. That's all it is. And so even though he said, well, even though we have not, you know, and so on, but nevertheless. So once the word of God comes in like that, your spirit will latch onto it. Whereas your soul may be trying to doubt and unbelief and fear and emotional and all that. That's where all those emotions are. And that's why the Bible says the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it is divides between the soul and the spirit. On the one hand, your soul is tired and doesn't believe. But you latch onto that word in your spirit and say, nevertheless, at thy word, I would do it. And the next thing you know, a great multitude of fish. Thank you so much, Sister Buki, for sharing. God bless you. So powerful. And I want to just say a prayer for you. Stress. Hallelujah. There's a song that says, my God is awesome. He can move mountains. He made the God is awesome. He can move mountains. You know, he'll be with me in the valley. Give me strength when I'm weary. You know, while I'm weary, I think I'll play that song for you. Of this room, play it in a few minutes. But strength when I've been broken, strength when I've been weary. I'm gonna play that for you, Sister Julia, in a little bit. But I want to hear from others first, you know. But you know, our God is able, and I pray for you this morning. The word of God strengthens you. Eat that word, it's your strength. Go in the strength of that word, and the Lord will give you wisdom. You know, doesn't mean you need to jump out tomorrow. You just know that it's only sleeping. It's not dead. You know, God says you will hear a voice in the back of your ear. I'll tell you which way to go. I'll guide you with my eye. And he said in, you know, I quoted it already today, Isaiah 48 and verse 17. I am the Lord that gives you the secret of how to make profit. That's exactly right. You know, even when it looked as if you couldn't make profit before, latch on to the words of Isaiah chapter 48 verse 17. Also Deuteronomy 18 and 8. You know, the Lord doesn't necessarily give us, you know, the riches, but he gives us that power to get them. And he'll give you the secrets of how to make that profit. And your strength is renewed already. He'll make your feet like hinds feet, and he will put you upon your high places. You will mount up with wings like eagles. That's right. You will run. You will not be weary. You will walk. You will not faint. In the name of Jesus, you will run and not faint. Walk and not be weary. The Lord is good. The Lord is your strength. Thank you, Sister Buki, for sharing. God bless you. I'm coming to you, Sister Lola. Sister Lola, God bless you. Welcome.
Good morning, Pastor Yato, Mommy Evelyn, Sister Julia, Mommy Maggie. Happy birthday, Sister Pearl, and everybody in the room. This was definitely a powerful, powerful session, and just really confirmation of, you know, what the Lord has just been showing me. Pastor Yato, literally what you just spoke about in Luke 5, literally that was my Bible study for the past 2 weeks. Exactly, you know, nevertheless, I will. Like, that was really the focus of it. And, you know, when I think of just making that nevertheless I will statement, it's basically despite my feeling defeated, despite the state that I'm in right now, I will just take another step. I will just continue in that way. And, you know, many times when we can make that decision to say, you know what, God, I can't do it, but I will just take a step. It's like you're shifting the responsibility and you're shifting everything to God, because you're doing it just because of God's track record. You're doing it just to move forward, even if you feel weak. So, you know, one thing that I've learned, at least, you know, in my relationship with God, is that whenever I get to that point of, you know what, at this point, nevertheless, even everything that has happened, the way that I feel, when you say I will, it's literally you are shifting your will to align with God's will. And grace does abound when you just take that step, when you just keep moving forward, when you just don't give up. The grace of God will abound to just help you to keep going, because a lot of times we feel like we can't. But when I tell you, the will, our will is so powerful. And when we can just align it to say, you know what, God, I can't even see in front of me. It's so obscure right now. But nevertheless, I will just go. And literally, it's a place of complete surrender. And you'll see that before you know it, right, that promise, right, that lifting, like everything that you've been waiting for, God, will come. And the grace to move forward, to just take another step, abounds. So I just want to encourage, you know, you, Sister Julia, Sister Pearl, everybody in the room, to just keep going. I literally was at a trial, literally a couple, like 2 weeks ago, where I was like literally attacked from the enemy, and I could not see, I could not move. I felt like in a prison. I was like struck with fear. And, you know, it was just one of those things where I just had to move. I just kept crying out to God every single day, crying out to God every morning, because that's all I knew to do. And I remember a song. I don't know if anybody knows it, by Ron Canole. It's an old, old song. And I used to listen to it when I was younger because my aunt used to play it. And it says, if you catch hell, don't hold it. If you're going through hell, don't stop. I always remember that song. If anybody has time, you can look it up. And I thought it was strange, because I'm like, why would I hold hell? That doesn't make sense. But what he was saying is that when you feel like you have caught hell, don't stop there. Keep going. And he always says, you know, we're going through, we're going to through, we're going to through, you know, we have authority over the enemy. And it's a really encouraging song, because, you know, many times we feel like we have caught hell at this point. And it's like, all right. And we're just kind of like, I can't go through. I can't. But that encouragement is to say, no, you have to go through, right? Just like David said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he didn't say, even though I stop, he didn't say I didn't park here. He said, I walk through. We must go through and know. And then David says, for thou art with me. So just know that God is fully aware of everything going on, and he has not left us, and he will not let us fall. You know, it's just to hold on and say, God, this is hard, but I know that you won't let me fall, because you can't. It is not in your nature. You said you would never leave me nor forsake me. It's not possible for you to let me fall, because you are God. And just to hold on to that and keep moving. You know, this is just the word that has been coming to me. And every time I get in a room, I feel like I have to keep encouraging, like, do not stop. Just keep going. There is glory on the other side. Do not stop. The Lord is right there with you. It's cheering. Jesus is saying, keep going, keep going. Don't, you're about to see what is coming. So I just wanted to encourage. And the other thing I wanted to just share is, you know, something that has helped me a lot in the place of burnout and exhaustion, spiritual exhaustion, physical exhaustion, mental exhaustion, like just exhaustion, is the scripture in one of my favorite scriptures is Psalm 127. One, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. And other translations say rest. And I remember being in a place of burnout and stress and reading that scripture. And it really, Holy Spirit was just kind of like, you know, God gives you rest. So stress, anxiety, burnout is not of God. You are not receiving the rest that God is giving you. And so I had to just shift everything and say, you know what? It is, you know, an instruction for me to rest. And so what I started doing randomly is I would just take a day off completely and I would just sit in my bed, of course, move around, but sit at home and just say, God, I just want to be in your presence and just you to feel me. Literally every problem, every challenge, every issue that I've been working on, it goes on the back burner for that whole day. Like, I'm not going to think about it. Nope, not concerned. I'm going to receive the rest that God has given me. I'm going to sit here and receive it and just ask the Holy Spirit, help me to receive this rest, because the Lord will refill, renew, restore, and strengthen you for, you know, the battle. And it makes me think of Psalm 23, my favorite Psalm, when David says, you know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He restoreth my soul. And so it was the Lord that made David to lie down. It was the Lord that made David to rest. And so it's important that we receive that rest that God has given us, because he does not want us to walk and to work and move in a place of stress. He wants us to go in a place of rest, in a rest of him. And when we do that, we see how the Holy Spirit just moves and things work out so easily without us even being stressed out about it. It's just an experience that I've gone through that God has shown me. So I just want to encourage you to know that God works through us rest. If we're stressed out, then that means we're doing too much in our strength. He wants us to do it in his, right? So just want to encourage you, if you are stressed out and you're burnt out, you need to take a day off and just sit in God's presence. Period. Nothing else. Everybody who's calling you, I'm sorry. Not today, right? Every challenge that's calling you, sorry, not today. Yes, I know there's a payment that's due, but I'm not dealing with it today. I am sitting with my Father at his feet, and I'm going to receive the rest that he's already given me. I'm actually going to sit and receive it. I'm going to be filled by him. I'm going to just enjoy his presence. We don't even enjoy God's presence many times because we're so on the go. But when I tell you, if you can just sit in a day and say, Lord, I just want to enjoy being in your presence. The Bible says that in his presence is fullness of joy. I want my joy to be full. I want to just sit here. And when I tell you, when we can get to that place where he lies us down in green pastures and he restores our soul, right? It gives us a whole new perspective. We're able to hear from him clearly. We're able to see. And then we see that the issues are so much more smaller than who God is. So I just wanted to share that. I mean, there's so much I could say even about what you said, Pastor Yada. I just don't want to take too much time. The four lepers that you, I literally gave that same story in the Bible study. So I'm just like, I'm just floored because I love how the Holy Spirit moves. Literally, I'm just hearing, you know, what we talked about. And something for me that I will say that is, I have to confess at me is, you know, that story with the lepers, and I'll be quick. I don't want to take too much time. I'll be quick. You know, when the lepers went in and they saw that, you know, everything was free and they started enjoying it, right? But when they went back to the king was paranoid. Like, wait a minute, this is too good to be true, right? And said, okay, let's see what's happening here. When I tell you, when you just spoke about that, literally, the Lord has given me all these blessings in October. And when I say that, I was actually a little paranoid. I was like, oh, the Satan's trying to trap me. And I have to confess because, you know, it was just like God just worked all these things out. I didn't have to do much. And I was just kind of like, and just even just meeting people. And I'm like, is this a trap? Is something happening here? And I just have to confess and repent, because it's like it made it difficult for me to even just receive the blessings that I've been waiting for. And so it's just, you know, I have to just confess that and just, you know, check my heart to know that God loves me enough that,
you know, even if the enemy has set a trap, I'm not going to fall for it in it because God has me protected. And so, and just to be able to actually receive what God has given me, you know, is that kind of too good to be true? So I just wanted to share that, and just have to repent for, you know, just even not receiving it, you know. So anyway, I'm done. And thank you so much, Pastor Yato, for your obedience. Thank you for, you know, opening this room and just being a blessing to every single one of us. And thank you, everybody who comes in and shares. You've all been a blessing to me as well.
Amen. Thank you so much, Sister Lola. Whoa, that was powerful. Thank you for sharing that, you know, and yes, for everyone that labor and are heavy laden, Matthew 11 and 28, come unto me. I think we dealt with this yesterday on those four, you know, those four horns. That's their job. It's laden you with more burdens, laden you with more stuff. Pile on all these other worries and stuff just so you won't have time for yourself or time for the Lord. But the carpenter anointing sent to break that. Read also Mark 6, 31. Let me see if I can find that and post it here for people. It says, you know, Jesus often says, look, it's time for you to rest. You know, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest for a while. Mark 6, 31. Somebody can find that and post it. You know, he said, you know, they were going and coming and they were doing all these things. And there was, you know, not so much, you know, room for them to even eat anything. Let me read you the whole thing from verse 30. And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart unto a desert place and rest a while. Why? For there were so many coming and going, and they had no leisure, not even so much as to eat. You know, this is very powerful, because Jesus himself recognized it. I mean, they were just busy ministry, busy up and down. You go from one clubhouse room to the other, you go to church, you go to this, you go to that, you know, and it's great. And you have to go to your work, you have to go to this one, you have to go to that one, you know, and Jesus just said, look, I see that. But, you know, just, you know, take it easy. Step back a little. Get some rest. And your body will tell you that too. But God uses that. So praise God. Thank you so much, Lola, for sharing. You know, and Sister Pearl, take that much needed rest. You need it. God bless you all. Hey, Lady Evan, you there, honey? I'm going to let you have the final word.
Oh, yes. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Wow, what a blessing. What a blessing. The last scripture is exactly for me. The Lord has been impressing this on my heart. You know, come ye aside to a quiet place. And that's exactly what I was trying to say yesterday. Pulling apart aside to a quiet place with the Lord. And, you know, refreshing myself. So that's exactly what I'm going to do too. To refresh myself in the Lord. Amen. So, thank you so much, for the encouragement. Thank you, Sister Lola. Thank you, everyone, Sister Paul, Sister Julia. And I've been going in and out. Actually, I just excused myself from the others so I can stay here. I just told them, you know what? I got to stay here. Starting tomorrow, I will only go for the 15 minutes prayer, but I don't know if we can work it out and start after the prayer meeting, because those people are so used to it. So, but I am counseling. I told them I'm out of there. I officially withdrew myself so I can be here. I'm not going back and forth. So I thank God for that step. And I told them exactly what I'm doing. I said, I'm supporting the work of God that my husband is doing here. I cannot be over there while he's here. So, and they understood it. They understood it. Say, I'm supposed to be his helpmate right here. So the Lord gave me that boldness to, you know, I was just going to hide and just not show up. And I said, no, just tell them the truth. So I did. And that's it. So thank God. And I'm going to I'll just be focused because I can't be split into two places at the same time. So the Lord is good. And also the time, the Lord will create a time. We find a time to spend time with him, you know, because he's coming very soon. He wants us to get it 100%. He doesn't want 95 or 99.9%. He wants 100% of your devotion, your attention, and everything that you got to bring to him. So, and that's exactly what the Lord is going to enable us to be able to do. So I thank God for the unction of the Spirit for this room. I thank God for all the people that are supporting. I thank God for everyone here, Sister Alexis, Brother Kola Pops, Sister Richard, thank you for coming, Sister Cynthia and Sister Grace. God bless you and everyone else, Joseph and Maholo. God bless you all for coming. The Lord be with you. And above all, I want to thank God for my husband, Pastor Yato, for his life and for the dedication that he has set aside this time. I know it's not easy on him, but thank God for the obedience, just like you said, to obey the voice of the Lord and to start this. So the Lord is around the corner. He's just waiting for us to be ready. Say the bride makes herself ready. Come quickly, Lord, and we are going to be ready. Thank you, in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all. I mute my mic right now.
Amen, that is so powerful. Thank you, honey. Well, what she was talking about there, you know, I don't know how she did it before. She was trying to tell me something yesterday, and I said, what are you talking about? You know, and she does all these prayer meetings all day long, you know, 4:30, and yes, we will move this room, you know, beginning tomorrow by the grace of God. You know, so, you know, when I started this room too, it was kind of weird, you know, because she had that room, you know, where she just does the 15-minute declaration in the morning, and it's, you know, Arizona time, it's 4:30. You didn't used to be able to get up in the morning to go to that until the Lord said, you know, this time around, starting this month, I started to do that. And I didn't know how I was going to do it. You know, because as long as I was up, well, I should better go into that room and support that too. So one day we actually tried it, and it was kind of hard. You know, I started this room at 4 a.m. We closed, we went to that room, and then we tried to come back. And I lost the link, and I just said, well, that's not going to work. Okay, so let me start this room at maybe 4:15. You can go here for a few minutes and then go to there and then come back. And then at 5 o'clock our time, she's got to go into another 1 hour room, you know, that she does, you know, with another group online. You know, she's been doing that forever. You know, that's the one she was talking about, you know, and I said, well, I mean, I didn't say anything about it, but I don't know how she did it, you know, and I was like, well, you do your thing. I've always supported her for that one. Never bothered her during that hour. Let her do her thing. Even when we go for a morning walk in the mornings, I always waited until she was done with that prayer. You know, and then we would go, you know, and so on, you know, and then anything we did around that because, you know, she had been doing it forever. It's not a new thing, you know, so, she started telling me something last night and said, well, I didn't know what she was talking about. You know, I just said, well, you know, whatever, you know, and I have been waiting. I love ministering with my wife. You know, it's just a passion of mine because this is how we started. Many years ago, that's how we started. You know, first time I laid hands on her, I mean, laid eyes on her ever, you know, which I didn't know she was going to be my wife at the time. I was ministering. I was a young man, maybe about 20 years old, you know, but with a friend of mine, actually with, you know, it was Sister Maggie's husband. We go back many, many years. She's dropped now, but it was with her husband. We were having this Holy Ghost three-day rally, baptism, that we're asking people to come and be baptized. It was in the 70s, you know. And so we went and borrowed a place in a cathedral in Lagos, and they gave us a place to use. And so we were having this meeting. There were some hand flyers and word of mouth, you know, and things like that. She heard about it and came, you know, and was sitting somewhere in the back in the middle. I think we had asked people to fast for some days. Maybe I think she told me later that was her first time fasting, so she was weak. I went over there to pray for her, to receive the Holy Ghost. She did. So that was our first contact. And so our very first contact was doing something for the Lord together. I was praying, she was receiving. And from there on, and when we eventually, knew that we were meant for each other, we started to do evangelism together before we even got married. We would go to places, we would do things. Some of the stories I told before about madman being healed when we were on the street, we were not even married. We would just do these things. We've always been doing this forever together. I was so passionate about that. And it actually was difficult for me to do anything here on Clubhouse. I'll be honest, she wasn't there. There were times I wanted to do stuff and she wasn't available and I wouldn't do it. So finally I said, look, I can't do that. I can't let my wife's not being available, make me to not do something. So I said, well, I'll just start this room at 4 o'clock. She can join, fine. If not, she can come back and so forth. So that's the story. You heard it all today. I wasn't thinking. I never thought, wildest of my imagination, that she was going to say what she said today, because, I support that, that she's doing and all that. But hey, the Lord is leading us, leading her there, and that's good. And so because of that, and because of what she said, she just made the announcement. She'll drop it on me right now. I'm hearing it like you, the guys are hearing for the first time. So because of that, I will shift this room a little bit starting tomorrow. When I schedule it now, it'll be at the end of her 15-minute declaration room. So her 15-minute room is at 4:30 a.m. Pacific time, which is 7:30 a.m. It will end, normally they go a little over. So I will schedule this room going forward at 4:45 a.m. Arizona time, which is 7:45 Eastern time. And when we close from that room, we can join over here. So if you want to join us in that room as well, you'll find it under Sarah's Daughters. They just pray. A bunch of women just gather together and pray over the families. Just 15 minutes. And they've been doing it for a long time, about a year or so on this app. I don't know how long. And it's powerful. Sometimes I join when I get up, but I've not been joining, as much as I could. But now I think we will do that. I'll go over there, pray with them, and then we'll transition from there into this one. So I think it's going to be great. I love you, Ani. Thank you for what you said and all that. Hey, listen, it's all about the Lord anyway. Everything we do, whether here, whether willing women, whether this, whether that, it's all about the Lord, And I come on this app. I don't even talk about my church mostly. Most of the time when I'm here, I just say our church on the local ground, because it's not about that. It's here about the Lord. We're just here to help people that we cannot even connect with, even through the church, I'll tell you this too before I close today. And I still will play that song for you, Sister Julia. Before I close today, for about 3 years ago, actually about a year and a half or so before the pandemic, I know around the time that my daughter got married, which was, I think she got married in 2019, so just before that, I had been thinking about it, about a year or so before it. I've been thinking, I need to do more. I mean, all my life, I've always been, a friend of mine one day said he was a pastor before he was a pastor, and that's the truth. I mean, I've always been, God called me since I was 19 years old, I've been doing this thing, So I said, look, I got to do more. I mean, yeah, we got our church. We do this, I preach here and there, we go out and do evangelism here and there. And so forth. We got many preachers in the church, so we rotate and so on. And it's like, look, I need to do more. And so for about 2 years, I was just praying on how I was going to do more, And then, we're talking about it. And I said, oh, maybe you can do Facebook, Facebook Live. And I said, no, because I hated that. I don't like to be on video. I don't like to be on video at all, So I was like, I'm not going to be on video. So I was thinking how I was going to do. I kept thinking and thinking, you know, praying and thinking, praying. In fact, one year before the end of the year, I took about almost 10 days in fasting and praying. I just saying, Lord, you know, I know you got more. You know, I know what God's giving me. I got to bless and help more people. How can I do it? You know, I'm just stuck over here, you know. So anyway, then when I found out about Clubhouse, I'm like, oh my goodness, that's it. I don't have to be on camera. That was the best part of it, folks. I don't have to be on camera, you know, and I can still preach the word. That's amazing, you know. So, and it was just amazing. And the thing that drew me to Clubhouse was even the very first time. My wife joined first. She was telling me about it. I'm like, well, I don't know. So one day she was there, you know, and she was on the app and I was listening. And she was in a group. They were studying the book of Acts. And they were studying the book and I was kind of listening. And then at the end, they called the prayer line for salvation. I mean, about a dozen of people gave their lives to Christ. I said, what? Because evangelism is my number one passion, winning souls for Christ. You know, I know God's made me an encourager in the church too, but I love that part. And I said, people are winning souls on this app. My goodness. I listened in, I joined in. You know, they were praying for people. People are giving their lives to Christ every day. I said, look, I need to join this app. So that's how I joined. You know, I say, wow, you know, people can actually use this app to reach people and give their lives to Christ. My goodness. You know, and God will use all those things. You know, God, you know, my daughter got my wife into Clubhouse. My wife, she kind of got me into it like that and so on. And so here we are. That's the story, guys. You know, we're not here to make a name or any such thing. Not been that, done that. You know, I've been doing that since I was 20. You know, so it's not about that anymore. This is giving it everything we got. One last push, you know, you got to give it everything. And as I was a young man, God also gave me some life lessons. You know, the things that we pass through in your life is never for a waste. You know, God doesn't waste our lives. You know, the things you go through in life that God will use. You know, I used to do track and field, and a lot of the training that I got in there come into play. And I used to run the anchor leg, you know, for my relay team. And I also ran for the Oyo State relay team back then. I was really good. I could have been in the Olympics, but I didn't continue. You know, Oyo State is one of the states in Nigeria, for those who may be listening and don't know that. You know, and but I used to remember when I got the baton, it was just the thing. I used to tell my team, look, you guys do whatever you can. Don't drop the baton. Just make sure you give me the baton. I'm going to bring it home. I used to be my favorite thing. And they knew it too, you know. And I was so good. Didn't matter, you know, didn't matter. I chased those guys down, you know, even if they were ahead of me. You know, and now that I have an opportunity to grab a hold of the baton, my prayer is, and I need your prayers, folks. I can't drop that baton. I got to bring the home. I got to bring the race home. I can't drop it. Can't drop that baton. You got to bring the race home. So, ladies and gentlemen, men and brethren, pray for us as we pray for you. We got to bring the race home. You know, and so I love those stories about track and field. That's why the other day I did the, you know, pick up the baton and finish the race, you know, and somebody dropped the baton and somebody told them, you got to pick it up. You got to finish the race. You got to finish that race. Well, praise God. Let's enjoy this. Let's enjoy this song as we are going to close the room. Praise God.
Come on, everybody, let's give God this worship. If you know he's awesome, come on, stand on your feet, everybody. If you know he's awesome, you're in awe of his grace. You're in awe of his goodness. You're in awe of his mercy. You're in awe of his provision. He's great and he's greatly to be praised. Hallelujah. Come on, everybody, lift our hands as we lift our voices. Come on, say, my God is awesome. Come on, say, he can move mountains. Keep me in the valley. Come on, say, I'm happy. That's it. My God is awesome. Heals me when I'm broken.
Yes. Strength where I've been weakened. Oh. Forever he will reign. God is awesome. Can move mountains. He in the valley. Hide me from the rain.
My God is awesome.
My God is awesome. He heals me when I'm broken. Yeah. That's for you, Sister Julia. Oh, yeah. And for you, Sister Pearl. Oh, yeah. My God is awesome. 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 My God is awesome. Say, come on, somebody. Awesome. Awesome. My God is awesome. Savior of the whole world. Healer of salvation. By his stripes I am healed. Ah, Shatalabos. Awesome. Today I am forgiven. Yes, Sister Julia. Yes, he heard your prayers. You are forgiven. My God is awesome. Yeah. Awesome. 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 My God is awesome. Yes. See what the Lord, where he has brought you from.
Awesome. Let's talk about why he's awesome. You said, he's mighty. He's mighty. He's mighty. He's mighty. Awesome. Somebody ought to lift your voice and celebrate.
Awesome.
If you know he's been good, you said, he's holy.
He's holy.
He's holy.
He's holy.
He's holy. Awesome. Somebody ought to lift your voice and testify. If you know he's been good, you say, he's great.
He's great.
He's great.
He's great.
He's great.
He's great.
Somebody ought to lift your voice and testify. If you know he's been good, you say, he's mighty.
He's mighty.
He's mighty.
He's mighty. He's mighty.
Awesome.
When I think of the goodness
of Jesus.
He's my deliverer. Yes. He's awesome. He's holy. He's holy. He's holy. He's holy. Awesome. Yeah. Provider. 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 Awesome. Yes, Shatolabo Kirinamo Sanderebo. He's my protector. Ah. He will look out for you. That's for you, everyone that's in this room. My God is all. Come on, sing it along with me. He can move mountains.
Yeah. In the valley,
from the rain.
My God is all.
Somebody shout his praise.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. My God is awesome. Hallelujah. Now you go in the strength of the Lord with that song this morning. Everyone, the Lord loves you. We love you, but Jesus loves you better. And he'll hold your hand, you know, and he'll ease the pain. You're going to smile again, you know, and the Lord is with you. Remember, you know, keep that fire burning. Our theme scripture throughout this room is Leviticus 6, 12 and 13. The fire must be burning. Come back every morning. Let's lay some more wood upon that altar. Let's burn it and let's keep the fire burning. It shall never be put out. And the Lord thy God is he that doth go with you. He will never leave you. He will not forsake you. He will be with you. He will not fail you. I love that verse. You go with that. Deuteronomy 31 and 8. He will not fail you. Therefore, be not afraid, neither be dismayed. God bless you all. We'll see you again tomorrow morning. It's going to be a different time now. We're going to schedule it for 7:45 a.m. Pacific. I mean, sorry, Eastern time. And that will be 4:45 Pacific time. Praise God. And that will also be, 12:45 for those who are in Nigeria, p.m. after in the afternoon. So God bless you all. This room will now self-destruct in 5 seconds. 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. Be blessed, everyone. God bless you. Love you. See you.